episode 3 of The Citizenry Show. You can also listen to our previous episodes 1 and 2. And you can always leave your recorded comments below, as our next topics of discussion come from them and your views also get to be heard by the society. On this episode though, we talk about elections in Uganda. And let us begin with talking about our very first election as a country, which was held on 25th April 1962. As the country prepared for independence on 9th October that very year. This election wasn't conducted across the whole country, and the registered voters were 1,553,233, with valid votes cast being 1,052,544. And these votes were cast for the 82 parliamentary seats that were contested for. And the UPC secured 37 seats, and the Kabaka Yeka secured 21 seats, which were through nomination, and the DP got 24 seats. And later on, the UPC and the Kabaka Yeka party would later form an alliance that would constitute the first government post-independence. Now, this election set precedent for how elections would be organized and run in Uganda. And since 1962, that is 18 years, no other elections were organized. Not until in 1980, on 10th and 11th December. And this was a National Assembly election. The total registered voters were 4,899,146, and these excluded two constituencies. The total number of votes were 4,179,111, and this excluded 17 constituencies where candidates were unopposed. This election had a total turnout of 85%, and in this election 126 seats were contested for, and the UPC won 72 seats, and the other two seats from the two constituencies which didn't have elections, hence making the total number of UPC seats being 74. The DP secured 51 seats, and the UPM of the now president Yoweri Kaguta Museveni winning only one seat. And in this election, and it is this election that saw Yoweri Kaguta Museveni run to the bush as he contested the results and the way the election was handled. Museveni cited the gerrymandering of constituencies to advantage the UPC, and actually the UPM MP Crispus Kiyonga didn't even go to that parliament, as he instead joined the guerrilla war of the NRA in 1981. And the UPM, by the way, up to now is a registered political party in Uganda. Elections in Uganda since independence and before the NRA grabbed power in 1986 have been as rare as a unicorn. In fact, the next round of elections came in 1996 in a no-party democracy system, or the movement system, which had banned political parties from fielding candidates directly in elections. These elections were conducted by the Electoral Commission, which was set up under Article 60 of the 1995 Constitution, and its rules therein stipulated. And Yoweri Kaguta Museveni defeated Paul Kawanga Semwogerere and Muhammad Mayanja by a landslide in that election. The total number of registered voters was 8,492,231, and the total votes cast were 6,193,816, translating into a voter turnout of 72.9%. And candidates, Yoweri Museveni got 74.3%. Semogerere got 23.61%, and Mayanja got only 2.06%. And this election was described as valid, free and fair by both domestic and international observers, even though the losing candidates rejected the results. The 2001 elections had 10,775,866 registered voters and a total of 7,576,144 votes were cast, translating into a 70.3% voter turnout. Yoweri Museveni got 69.33%. Kizza Besigye, who was a new player and a former ally to Museveni in the Bush War and had served in the NRA government, got 27.82%. Agri Awori came third with 1.41%. Then followed Muhammad Mayanja, who had participated in the previous election with 1%. Francis Bwenje got 0.31%, and in last position was Karo Hangachapa with 0.14%. The opposition cried foul and they then boycotted the parliamentary election in June that very year. They cited electoral malpractice from the NRM, and the parliament was then dominated by NRM candidates. The 2006 elections were different and first of its kind in Uganda, as the 2005 referendum brought about the introduction of multi-party politics, lifting a 19-year-old ban on political parties. So the country went into the 2006 presidential and parliamentary election with four political parties, namely the NRM, the FDC, the UPC, and the DP. This election also saw the first female presidential candidate, Miriam Obote, from the UPC. And this Miriam Obote was wife to former president of Uganda, Abro Milton Obote. The other unique event about this election was that parliamentary elections would be held on the same date as the presidential elections, which wasn't the case before. The other thing that was that certain political parties, i.e. the Conservative Party and the Justice Forum, JEMA, fielded parliamentary candidates only. They didn't go for the presidential race. But that was a well-calculated move, as each party got one elected member of parliament each. The total number of votes was, the total number of voters, of registered voters, was 10,450,788. and 7,230,456 voters stand up to vote on the 23rd of February, translating into a 69.2%. Yoweri Museveni of the NRM won the election again with 59.26%. Kizza Besigye of the FDC garnered 37.39%, and that's almost half the votes Yoweri Museveni got. John Sebana Kizito of the DP got 1.58%. Abed Bwanika, who was independent, got 0.95%, defeating a once famous and powerful political party, the UPC, whose candidate Muriel Obote got 0.82%. Fast forward to 18th February 2011, the country got another cycle of elections. 13,954,129 voters registered to vote, but only 8,272,760 turned out to vote, i.e. 59.3% voter turnout. Yoweri Museveni of the NRM got 68.38%. Kizza Besigye of the FDC got 26.01%, still half of Museveni's votes. Norbert Mao of the DP got 1.86%. Olara Otunu of the UPC got 1.58%. Betty Kamya of the Uganda Federal Alliance got 0.66%. This is another female candidate vying for the office of the presidency. Abed Bwanika of the People's Development Party got 0.65%. Jabiri Bidani Sadi of the People's Progressive Party got 0.44%. And Samuel Vega, who was independent, got 0.41%. Now, all these were provisional results from 23,851 polling stations out of the 23,968 polling stations. That is, results from 117 polling stations were never tallied. Now, was that significant enough to overturn the results? Well, the Supreme Court said no. The last election in Uganda was in 2016, a record high of 15,277,198 voters were registered, but only 10,329,031 voted on 20th February, translating into a 67.61% turnout. Yoweri Museveni of the NRM again got 60.62%. Kizza Besigye of the FDC got his record high of 35.62%. Amama Mbabazi of Go Forward got 1.39%. Abed Bwanika of the PDP got 0.90%. Vinicius Bariamureba, who was independent, got 0.54%. Faith Kiaria, who was also independent, got 0.43%. Beno Biraro of Uganda Farmers Party got 0.26%, and Joseph Mabirizi, who was also independent, came in last with 0.25%. Now, we have to ask ourselves if these elections and the entire electoral process can bring about a peaceful transition of power like most opposition political parties and players desire. Most Ugandans are very thought, or at least the opposition supporters have always thought a united opposition with a single candidate in Uganda can depose of Museveni, and the opposition listened and tried this in 2016 when an alliance of political parties that included initially all major opposition political parties, that is JAMA, DP, UPC, FDC and Go Forward. But later on, the FDC dropped out after disagreeing on which candidate to field. The FDC, of course, wanted Dr. Kizza Besigye to be the candidate ahead of Go Forward's Amama Mbabazi. And guess what? The coalition failed and they disagreed on which candidate to field. But let's analyze how true this is. If you tally the results of all candidates who went against the incumbent Yoweri Kaguta Museveni, you would get 39.38% in the 2016 election. And in 2011, that tally would give you 31.61%, and in 2006 it would give you 40.74%. So the statistics prove even if the opposition fielded a single candidate, they wouldn't defeat Museveni in an election. But there is still a theory that the NRM and Museveni buy candidates, that is, pay for their nomination fees and support their candidates behind the scenes, while their intention is to further split the anti-government voters. And this can be evidenced with Faith Kialia, who had participated in the 2016 presidential elections, being given diplomatic duties. And later on in 2018, she pronounced that she will die with Museveni. And Vinicius Mariamreva was another presidential candidate in the 2016 elections, has since gone back to the NRM, where he even participated in the 2020 party primaries while he was vying for a parliamentary seat. There is also talk of electoral violence from the government security agencies like the police and the army. Actually, in that 2016 election, the then IGP, General Kare Kaihura, said police had recruited over 1 million crime preventers. Now that is almost a third of the population to help the police in the 2016 elections. These crime preventers were unemployed youth, and according to the Human Rights Watch, they harassed the opposition politicians and their supporters, and all this was in the guise of keeping and sticking to the Electoral Commission campaign guidelines. Besigye was of course arrested thrice before the election date, and he was put under house arrest after votes were cast, and as was Amama Mbabazi. Actually, in that election, during that arresting of Besigye, he made himself a record. He became the most arrested man or politician on earth. Yeah, what a record there. And also the military placed checkpoints along major highways and major junctions were turned into military barracks, and all this served as intimidation onto the voters, and one could argue that that alone discourages voter turnout. The Electoral Commission, which is mandated by the Constitution to carry out free and fair elections in Uganda, has often been accused of playing favorite. In 2016, the Electoral Commission issued a press statement apologizing for delaying to deliver polling materials in Wakiso and Kampala, but it said in those places where this happened, voting hours were extended and in some voting carried on to the next day. But they also said in spite of those delays, voter turnout was not affected. But also before the election date on 13th, the Electoral Commission accepted that 20,000 names that were registered were non-existent. And all this looks like a well-meditated plan to fail elections in some of these opposition strongholds. But on the plus side, for the power-seeking forces, the numbers of registered voters has been increasing in these elections, and as a result, the number of voters voting against the status quo has also increased, even though the voter turnout has remained low, as we've seen earlier on the show. So this means the opposition has to encourage voters to turn up in large numbers to vote so as to overhaul the regime in these electoral processes. And don't forget that all these elections since the introduction of multi-party politics have ended up in the Supreme Court, and on all instances the judgments have acknowledged electoral violence and malpractices, but still the results have been upheld, with the court citing that the vote rigging isn't significant enough to overturn results. While electoral observers have often called the elections for lacking transparency, independence, and fairness. So this shows that the Electoral Commission on all occasions has failed its duties of holding a free and fair election, which means the electoral process as it stands cannot bring about a peaceful transition of power in Uganda. The next election in Uganda will be on 14th January 2021, and we already have 11 candidates vying for the presidency. The electoral violence cycle has already begun, and it began on day 2 of nomination for these presidential candidates, which was characterized by unwarranted police brutality towards two opposition candidates, Patrick Amuriat Oboy of the FDC and Robert Chagurani of the National Unity Platform. This has always been the script for the Uganda's electoral period. The incumbent and new opposition players receive fair treatment from the police, as the stronger opponents amongst these opposition players have been harassed by the police. This election comes after the lifting of the age cap that would have prevented Yoweri Museveni from participating in this election, and that too had its own wave of violence orchestrated by the police force and the Special Forces Command, a brigade that protects the first the Uganda police and other armed forces have always favored the incumbent, and there is video footage showing high-ranking UPDF officers saying that the army can't let Robert Kyagulanyi take over the presidency if at all he wins in 2021 elections. In fact, the First Sun sent a tweet justifying the violence brought on to Robert Kyagulanyi on nomination day. So this means all the state agencies that are supposed to create an environment for a free and fair election are favoring the incumbent and suffocating the opposition players and their would-be supporters. But that also doesn't exonerate the stubborn opposition players who don't play by the book and constantly seek for the attention that comes with police brutality, i.e. Ssemujju Nganda of the FDC had earlier stated before the nomination day that his party would come with over 2,000 people for nomination, going against the 10 people the Electoral Commission had requested in their guidelines for that process. The COVID-19 factor has also played a role in the nature of this 2021 elections and the whole electoral period, as the Electoral Commission, in collaboration with the Ministry of Health, have issued campaign guidelines. And these guidelines, which amongst them includes holding a rally of maximum 200 people, seems to curb the opposition, as they always rallied on a huge crowd. The other guideline being holding virtual campaigns using the media, which means the incumbent who has participated in these elections since 1996 is a familiar figure to the electorate, and the new players would have a mountain to climb to beat that, as they can't personally introduce their brands to the electorate. Actually, Charles Romoshana, appearing on a political show on the NBS called Barometer, said that when he went to look for signatures, which is a requirement for any presidential candidate, people in his own home district of Mbarara told him they only know Museveni and Besigye. What a bummer. So these scientific campaigns are really a thorn in the butt of these new political players. Lastly, I don't think the electoral process can bring about the desired fundamental change Uganda fully desires, because when you analyze the past manifestos from all these candidates, most of the promises in them can't be realized with our poor economy. Later on, the reality of our society. The incumbent has always had a large part of his manifesto not realized. That is, so many kilometers of roads promised and undone. The Karuma Dam hydropower plant has not been commissioned. Corruption is at a record high, and among others. While the fundamental issues of high poverty rates, a crippled healthcare system, a rotten public education system, income inequality in our workforce, generic corruption, inadequate electricity and clean piped water supply, poor transport infrastructures, and the economic transformation, which would include industrializing agriculture, have all not been addressed in these manifestos. And my friends in the NRM will be quick to point out the manifesto. But you've had 35 years in power and little has been done. And all the opposition and its supporters keep saying is Museveni agende. And we shall see about all those fundamental issues later on when we've captured power from Museveni. But that's what has been happening in Uganda with all these regimes coming with the same mentality. And when they capture state power, no fundamental change has really taken place. On that note, I think as an electorate, we need to think about what needs to be done to better our country rather than relying on the empty promises of politicians. And with that, I end today's episode. And please leave your recorded comments on this very episode or any other episode. Salute. See you next time.